Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Welcome back as we begin a brand new week together in the Bible, discovering as always who God is. We believe in one God, the only God, and He is the God revealed to us here in the Old and New Testament scriptures. And I am excited to spend this time with you all week in the Old Testament book of Genesis chapter 3. We are in verse 20, which reads, "Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living." Much has already been said about this one verse, which seems random when we first read it in context, but we have learned that this fits perfectly in the flow of this chapter. A good way to summarize this is, out of death comes life. Out of the death we read about at the end of verse 19, the punishment for sin is death. Out of that death emerges life, because God offers life to all who will acknowledge our sin, to confess to Him that we are sinners in desperate need of His grace. Dear sinner, if you will humbly seek God, no matter how dark and obsessive your sin is, if you will seek God, He will offer you Christ's life for your life, and in Christ lift the death sentence from you. This is what the first man Adam and the first woman Eve learned as God gave them their punishments for their own sins. I submit to you that for Adam to name his wife Eve, and the name Eve means life, living, and she who gives life. For Adam to give Eve this name means Adam understood the promise of life, despite how his sin had placed him squarely in the jaws of death. As we said last week, Adam took the promise of God in Genesis 3, verse 15, the promise of the gospel, the mother of all promises, and he believed God. In sin, man fell into a state of death, but through the promised seed of the woman, man will be delivered from death to life. Adam believed this, here at verse 20. This is a very quick summary of what we took in and digested last week. Soon I want to turn ahead in the text to verse 21, but there are a few loose ends I want to tie together before we go to the next verse. I wanted to put these on your mind and in your heart on Friday, but I simply ran out of time. So hopefully you will follow me into my train of thought since 2 days has passed since we last spoke. Just keep in mind, we are talking about life. There are four things I want to say today. First, please notice that man, and by that I mean men and women, people, man will live forever. This belief Adam has in life is not only for life here on earth, but also an eternal and everlasting life in heaven. To prove this, I want to drop back to verse 19 for a moment. I'm reading Genesis 3:19. God says to Adam, "For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." By this, does God mean Adam will just cease to exist? Adam will be annihilated? Is God going to totally take him out, destroy him, obliterate him? The answer is a firm no. Annihilationism is not taught in the Bible. I know a lot of people think this is what will become of them, that when they die, they will simply cease to exist. Poof! Here today, gone tomorrow. But that philosophy of death, that way in which millions imagine death, is wholly unorthodox. That is a complete departure from truth. Nobody is annihilated. All people live forever, either in heaven or in hell, according to God. And who would know better than God? But what Adam does in verse 20, naming his wife life, Adam demonstrates for us that he knows the truth. To dust you shall return does not mean Adam and all who follow him will cease to exist. It only means that man's body, woman's body, will return to the ground, return to dust, but men and women themselves will go on living. When we stand by the graveside of someone we know, someone we love, and watch their body in that casket or their ashes in that urn go into the ground or be scattered, we know the body has gone to the dust. But we will be right to believe and to accept that person's soul is still very much alive. I understand that if this person we love loved Christ, then we mourn as ones who grieve, but not without hope, because we know we will live forever together in eternal heaven. But if we have buried someone who is not a Christian, then there is such a deep sense of sadness and hopelessness, because we accept the eternal dwelling place of this person to be hell. Now, someone says, "You're not going to tell me you believe in a real hell, are you? A hell that is eternal and never-ending?" Friend, that is exactly what I am telling you. I believe the Bible, and the Bible says it. Hell is real, and it is eternal, and real people go there every day. And once the soul and body are condemned to hell, there is no escape. Bodies will be resurrected from the dead, and soul and body will be joined together for all eternity. But the complete contrast, heaven is forever. I believe the Bible, and the Bible says it. Heaven is real, and it is eternal, and real people go there every day. And once the soul and body are welcomed in heaven, there is no leaving. Bodies will be resurrected from the dead, bodies will be perfected, and soul and body will be joined together for all eternity. First, notice that man will live forever. Second, Adam and Eve have children, because Eve is the mother of all the living. From life comes life. Adam names his wife Eve, and Eve means life, and she will bear children. The tail end of verse 20 says, "She was the mother of all the living." Do you see that there at Genesis 3, verse 20? And you might reply, "Well, of course we know this. Tell us something we do not know, Swallow." I'm just pointing out that we should take the Bible as it comes to us. And the writer Moses added, "She was the mother of all the living," because children are not born to Adam and Eve until the next chapter, Genesis 4, after they are banished from the garden in Eden. Kids come after expulsion, not before. Which leads me to my third insight. Adam and Eve could not have been in the garden a long time before they sinned. Actually, this answers a common question in Genesis. The question is, when did Adam and Eve sin? How long into their existence did they eat the forbidden fruit? I believe the answer is not long. That is, soon after life in the garden got underway for the first couple, sin made its ugly appearance. There came the serpent. Eve accepted what the serpent said, passed that along to Adam, and they sinned. It seems certain sin intervened before this first husband and wife had time to get busy procreating. Think about it. They are perfect. They are living in perfection. They have a passionate, burning desire to please God, to do what He commands. And God has commanded them to produce children. Genesis 1:28, God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." That is Genesis 1, verse 28. But it is not until Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1 that we read, "Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain." Why were they not fruitful and multiplying while they were still in the garden? The reason is sin intervened. Sin made them disobedient to all of God's commands. Eve is the mother of all the living, but not until she is this in her post-garden existence. I hope that this is helpful to you in answering when Adam and Eve sinned. I think the answer is here at verse 20. We are tying up some important loose ends here at verse 20 of Genesis 3, and this is my last one. Fourth, this is a gold nugget I picked out of the writing of Merrill Unger's Commentary of the Old Testament. Regarding Eve's name, which means life, he writes, "The name envisioned Christ and all who live by him." Wow, what an insight. The name envisioned Christ and all who live by him. He supports this with John chapter 1, verse 4. John 1, 4 reads, "In Christ was life, and the life was the light of men." The Redeemer will come through the seed of the woman. The man Jesus will ultimately come from Eve. Eve means life, and Jesus is the life. I say it again. Eve means life, and Jesus is the life. Well, let's agree with Merrill Unger. The name Eve envisioned Christ and all who live by Christ. I love that. I think that insight is profound and is well worth sharing with you today. The Bible itself is awesomely profound. There is so much that's packed into just one verse. We'll never have enough time to explore and to discover all that is here. But we will leave verse 20 now. Thank you for joining us today. As you go about your life, remember that Adam has named his wife Eve, life, because Adam believed God's gospel message. It is my sincere hope and prayer that you do as well. I pray that you have eternal life, life that will never end in heaven with Christ. Join us tomorrow for God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.